podcasting and broadcasting about everything and nothing. From the center of the universe, Hagerstown, Maryland, it's Hub City's own The Hub Show.
Check. 1, 2, 1, 2. All right, welcome back. Ranting and Raving, The Hub Show. We're a special music edition today. And I got the man here. I got Mr. Conrad Chester, a.k.a. DJ Smooth.
How's it going? Yeah. Yeah, what's up, man?
Not much, man. Hey, interesting. We're talking about social media, but yet I met you on social media.
Right.
I've only met you twice in person, but every other time it's been on Facebook Messenger.
Yeah,
but
yeah, unfortunately.
You know when you connect with somebody.
Yeah. That's kind of the way to go
the
now.
The way of the world, right?
Yep. Cool. Kind of the way to go.
So, DJ Smooth, I know you through Big Chuck, SMU Entertainment.
Right.
You DJ for his comedy jams.
Right.
Awesome, man. He was in-house DJ. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I've known Chuck for a long time.
Yeah?
And, yeah, man.
Have you always done
this? It's been a lot of fun. Never did comedy shows before in that sense, but since working with Big Chuck, then...
Yeah,
it's been a lot of fun. I get to enjoy the show, too, and they jones on me, too.
There you go. That's cool, man.
You know, but it's all in fun, man.
And awesome.
Yeah, great shows. Chuck knows how to put on a show.
Yeah, I haven't been to one yet. I'm going to be the one in March. I will be there for sure. We connected. Also, it's a generational thing. You and I are around the same age. We're in our mid-40s here.
Right.
You know, we grew up on hip-hop. Yeah, kids, man. We grew up on it. The real stuff. The good times, the golden era, the 80s,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And you're like me, you started young. You started DJing at what age?
I started DJing at 14.
14.
And I'm now 47.
I'm about to be 45 this year. So, I'm right behind you. I started DJing at 16 in 1989.
Yeah, man.
But
started at 14, started at the skating rink back in South Carolina.
South Carolina?
Yep. And had the fortunate timing of being in it when I think hip-hop was... You know, at his birth, it was good.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I've been fortunate enough and old enough now to appreciate it way back then. I'm glad that I started when I did.
Right. Yeah. I think another similarity you and I have, we're both military brats. I was an Air Force brat. You were an Army brat.
Army brat, yep.
And, you know, I think it goes even today, no matter what, music is about where you are when you hear songs.
Right.
And where you are in your life.
Yeah.
Music is the soundtrack to whatever you're doing at the time.
Oh, so it's a universal language.
Certain songs will resonate with you because of something, place you were or where, who you were with and all that.
Yep.
I first heard hip-hop in 81, 82, right. Living on a Air Force base housing.
Right.
You know, all the We Are the World stuff, black kids, white kids, you know, all living together, listening to the same stuff. The black kids listened to the rock as well, and we listened to what they were listening to as well.
We did too, man. Being an Army brat, you couldn't help but, you know, expose yourself to different genres of music.
So we went from Earth, Wind & Fire to AC/DC, back on over to Junior, Mama Said, and all over the place. And then all of a sudden, my older brother comes home with this cassette from one of his friends who probably got it from his cousin back on the East Coast of New York, and here comes this stuff called... hip-hop or rap.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I'm listening to The Message, Planet Rock, Played Your Own Risk, all that old stuff. This is 81, 82.
Right.
And I'm blown away, like almost everybody else in the era. I don't care if you're black or white. When you first heard hip-hop like that back then, it was just new. It was nothing like it.
Yeah.
And I'm only 9 years old, and you know, I'm sitting there in the playground with my friends playing on their boombox. And just listening to the Pat Jam and all that old stuff.
Man.
Yes, the Tommy Boy stuff, right?
Jeez.
And so, you know, I hung on to it. And I was in England during that time in the early 80s. From 80 to 83 and a half, 84, I was in England. So England was very, with only three channels. That's all those kids did over there.
Armed Forces Network, man.
We didn't have that. We were in England. So they spoke English on the three channels. So
right.
We got the Benny Hill and all that good stuff.
Right.
But Top of the Pops was every Thursday night in England. And, I mean, that's what kids did in England. It's very cultural with the music, you know, whether
Absolutely.
It was about the two-tone ska stuff with the Specials and all that stuff.
Right.
And those, you know, over there, they have a bigger appreciation for music.
Absolutely.
So hip-hop got sucked up over there. They love that stuff.
And to this day,
it's
absolutely the same way. They take their music and their hip-hop
and
very seriously.
Germany, too. I mean, you were over there.
Yeah, I was over there in the mid-'80s.
Mid-'80s, yeah.
And my first piece of vinyl was Planet Rock.
Awesome.
It's funny that you mentioned that. That was my first piece of vinyl that I ever bought. But not only was I exposed to hip hop over there, I was exposed to hair bands over there, like, you know, Rat right. and AC/DC yeah. and Cinderella. And
I had black friends. And, I had a black friend that had a was walking around with a Twisted Sister T-shirt.
Oh yeah.
But you know, you didn't think nothing of it back right. then. You just it is what it,
it
is.
It was what it was.
A white kid could have had Michael Jackson on his shirt, and the black kid could have been wearing AC/DC on his shirt, and no one said nothing.
No one said a thing.
Do that nowadays, and all kinds of hell gets raised about cultural.
Oh man,
lips
you get
and
twisted
that,
lips and cross like, eyes and everything else, man. But just,
I mean, easier times. I guess so, man.
You know? I don't know. Then again, we didn't have social media back then either. So, I mean, we had to come in contact with people and actually...
We're two old men here,
yeah.
man. But social
we had to pick up the phone and talk to people.
Social media is for better or worse.
It has
it's for
its
better or worse.
It has its advantages as yeah. far as, you know...
You're under a microscope.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
but,
no doubt.
I mean, no but back then, when you wanted a song, you wanted a record, you had to go out and buy that record.
Absolutely.
Or you record it off the radio with your boombox.
On your boombox, exactly.
On your boombox, and you got the DJ on the intro and the outro.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
That's how we did it.
I miss going to the stores and actually digging in those crates.
God, I dig that.
And
I used to do that.
And finding those jewels, like,
yes.
I know nobody's got this.
Yeah.
When I go back to the skating
yeah.
rink and play this, I'm going to blow their mind.
Yeah.
I miss doing that.
I moved from Los Angeles 5 years ago, four and a half, 5 years ago with... Before I left, I had 28 crates of records. I just never got rid of nothing. And I knew I wasn't doing anything with over half of them anyway, but they were just there. So I had to go through a filter and see what I could sell and get rid of a bunch of stuff. Mm. I still have about 6 crates worth right now, and I had the good stuff. I have what's called the Smithsonian of hip-hop in my house, man. I mean, I have all the Sugar Hill stuff,
mm-hmm.
Not just Sugar Hill Gang and Grandmaster Flash. I have the Sequence and other tracks that they put out. I had the Tommy Boy collection. I got Planet Rock when it was an orange label before they put the three breakdancing dudes on it.
No doubt.
I got that. I got the original Def Jam stuff. I'm proud to say this, man. I got the original BC Boys LL Public Enemy on wax. You know,
no kidding.
You know, I showed it to my 11-year-old son. I'm like, hey, this stuff isn't going anywhere. This is
oh, those are your crown jewels, man.
I got some 45s. I got Rob Bass. It takes two on 45.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Def Jam,
45. Got a little crate of 45 sitting right over here.
Yeah, right. See, yeah. I got Slick Rick, Teenage Love on 45. I cherish that stuff, man. And then going into the 90s, you two, you joined the Army.
Right.
As I did. And you were in from what years?
90 to 95.
I was in from 91 to 95. Mm-hmm. You were in the Gulf War. You go
yeah, I had the option to go, but they actually wouldn't send me.
Oh.
I volunteered to go.
Did you?
Yeah, I said, hey, send me over there. Mm-hmm. Let me do what I got to do. They actually said no.
Really?
Yeah, they said no.
Back in 1990?
Because my schooling for the job that I was going to do was so long, and they needed me at other places.
It's the way it goes,
They said, no, we're not sending you. We're sending the grunts over there instead.
Yeah.
I actually volunteered to go.
But then you're like me, though. I spent my whole time in the Army next to people who did the whole 8, 9, 10 months over there in the Gulf.
Absolutely, yep.
You know, it's a blip on our country's history, but it's one of those things where if you were in the military at the time, it was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Iraq's first invasion of Kuwait was 91, correct?
I was in high school. I graduated high school in 91, so the whole Gulf, Desert Shield, Desert Storm,
right,
was my senior year in high school, so watching that whole thing happen.
Yeah, that was my first year in the military.
Right,
so
it's crazy to me to think that the guys who graduated high school, or guys and girls who graduated high school in 1990, I mean, they went off to that.
We were gone.
You know what I mean? And at the time, we didn't know what was going to happen. It's the first time we've been in any type of combat since Vietnam.
Right.
I remember it was a very big deal, man.
Absolutely.
And when Desert Storm started with the bombing of Baghdad and all that, I mean, it was pretty tense for a minute there, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And then I went and signed up. That's how tense it was. But
Well, thank you for your service,
sir. Thank you, too, man. But, you know, when I got stationed, my first duty station was Korea. Camp Humphreys, and when I got there in January of 92, I swear over half the people I was serving with got orders to Korea right when they got back from the Gulf War. So a lot of people were kind of disgruntled because they were serving, you know, they just got out of the Gulf and they got put over here without their family, got separated.
Right.
I mean, people were having marriage issues due to all that. Military is a cesspool for that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, absolutely.
So that's our military history. We have that in common.
Right.
Both brats, both veterans. But this is about the music. And you started DJing when you were 14?
14.
Okay.
14. I started DJing, picked up one of my uncle's records and put it on his Sony turntable.
That's what we all did.
And
broke it.
I was hooked. And
Was it belt-driven?
It was belt-driven.
Oh,
belt-driven Sony turntable. And I moved that record back and forth, and I was hooked. I got goosebumps talking about it right now, man.
Wait, you were able to move it back and forth?
Yeah.
Did it have the rubber platter on it?
It had the rubber platter
on a belt-driven turntable.
You
didn't break it?
Unfortunately.
He did.
Yeah, I did.
I didn't know what direct drive was then either. Man.
Yeah, I didn't know all that turntable technology back then. Yeah. I just put it on there. I saw somebody do it once, and I figured, you know what? I'm a pretty fast learner. Right. I can do that. But,
hey. Yeah.
And so it began.
So it began. Wow. This is awesome. Only because I'm going back in my head here, reminiscing. I mean, I started DJing in 89 and talking about hip hop. Today, it's 2017, going into 2018. I feel like an old man. I try to keep up with what's what.
Yeah.
It's hard. I think hip hop as a scene, as a music style, has really lost its way, even in the last 15, 20 years, man.
I agree with you. You know, everybody's got this mentality of, you know, us quote unquote old heads are bitter towards this new generation of hip hop. No, we're not bitter towards it.
Right.
I think it's more of this new generation is like not giving the respect or the homage that the old school deserves.
Right.
I think that's more the case. And, you know, I'm not saying you have to be a lyrical genius like Rakim or, you know, or anybody like that, but the people that worked really hard to build this craft that they call hip hop, you know, with the lyrics and the beats and the production and things like that, they just want a little respect for it. You know what I mean? I mean, music is music, no matter how you, no matter how you put it. But I mean, if you're gonna do the, let's just say the, for lack of a better term, thug music or, you know,
is that what you call it?
I don't even know what to call it anymore. It's a tie between mumble rap and gangster rap. I mean,
yeah, mumble rap gets tossed around a lot.
Yeah, that word gets tossed around a lot, and don't get me twisted. I like some of it. You know, the beats are phenomenal. You know, some of the wordplay is okay. But, I mean, if you're going to say yeah throughout the whole song, don't call it hip-hop. At least not in my eyes anyway. You know what I mean? Don't call it hip-hop. I mean, put some thought into it. Put some effort into it like your forefathers before you did that made it the genre that it is today.
Right.
You're making money off of it. At least pay some respect to those guys.
Yeah, I think one of the problems with music as it's splintered off, there's different styles of hip-hop now.
Oh,
there's EDM. There's all these different forms of things. And, again, social media. Social media has put people who are into a certain kind of music together, and that's cool. They're connected.
Yeah.
But there was a time when you just had to listen to what was on.
Right.
And even for, you know, to me, a young black kid today, and he'll say, you know, he doesn't really know Jimi Hendrix music. Doesn't really know Led Zeppelin.
Right.
Doesn't really know where the original hip hop was sampling from. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's where I feel like
there's that disconnect.
There's a disconnect there.
Right.
I mean, because I know that guys that call themselves producers and DJs, they're all over the place. They're on Instagram. People want to, you know, give me beats to use and this and that on my show and all that.
Mm-hmm.
At my age, and all the music that you and I have heard and listened to, especially coming up into the 80s with MTV, we got bombarded with it. And living over in Europe, you're just getting bombarded with it.
Man.
It was so much going on
so
back then.
Stuff, yeah.
Then the whole golden era of hip-hop, you mentioned Rakim, he's my number one.
Yeah.
That's the man. I even with rock, all music, as I've DJed and I go out there and try to keep up with what's new in all genres, I really feel like we've hit a wall. Like, there's nothing anything new to do. I don't know.
Yeah, good point.
That sounds very creepy to say.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
All eras have their beginning and ends. And
right.
You think that, it's all part of the rock and roll era, which goes to people who argue against putting hip hop in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
I argue right back. I say, look, this stuff came out of it.
Right.
Rock and roll, you know of rock and roll because of a DJ playing it. That's the only reason, back in the 50s. And I know it got splintered off with the white and the black thing and soul music and this and that, but all that stuff came from the same place.
Right. Right.
And it's like, I think we've hit every note we can with the guitar. A combination between the guitar, the drum, the keyboard. I mean, I hope not. I hope there's somebody out there in the basement making something new, but I mean,
I'm sure there's some drummer or some keyboardist out there that's doing something that would make our jaws drop.
I hope.
I'm pretty sure.
But then you wonder with social media, they're lost in the shuffle. I don't know. And then the corporate.
Or just didn't have the outlet to.
As corporate America bought up all the independent labels and stuff in the 90s and 2000. Now they're afraid to go out there and do the new stuff because, you know, they just want what works.
Right.
Or what makes the bottom line keep flowing.
Right.
I mean,
that's why 360 deals are the biggest thing since chocolate bubble gum.
360
know what I mean?
Deals?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
360 deal, like, I don't know the exact law behind it, but I mean, a lot of these a lot of these new cats just want to get a shine really fast, and they'll go in and get these 360 deals with these big labels. And I'll take Chief Keef as a prime example. Where's he at now? He's owing all this money back to the record label. They gave him a couple $1 million, you know what I mean, to make this album. But where is the guy? He's back at the underground now. And for him and guys like him, that works for him. You know what I mean? He was better off not signing that major deal.
Now he knows.
Sometimes it's just like that.
Well, and we've always heard bad things about the record companies, even back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the late 80s, 90s, the rappers were writing about it. Tribe Called Quest wrote about it.
They wrote about it.
Yeah, they rapped about it. And, you know, people were talking about it. Remember Salt and Pepper saying the number one thing they would tell anybody to get into the record business, the record business, was get a lawyer.
Get a lawyer.
Because they were all getting screwed.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And
the first thing any of the artists today will tell you, I say one of the top three things that they will tell you is if you can, own all your own stuff.
If you can.
If you can.
If you can. Ray Charles was the first one to actually do that with the labels, man.
Keep your masters.
He owns his masters.
Own your masters.
A blind black guy telling the guy, I want my masters.
Right.
But he got him. I mean, but I remember I remember an interview with Suge Knight, of all people, but he used to be a bodyguard for Bobby Brown.
Right.
The way he got into the music business was just by standing there and listening to what Bobby Brown's management was dealing with. And he understood owning your masters was the key to
the biggest thing next to your publishing deal that you could do.
But in 2017, what does it mean to get a record deal now?
Absolutely
nothing.
What does
it mean? Because, I mean, I'm putting this podcast out on my own. Yeah. I'm not going through CBS, ABC.
And that's what everybody's doing now with the social media and YouTube and everything else. I mean, if you get a local buzz first, and the
I understand
rest will follow.
That's the priority, or that's the thing.
Kind of the formula
now
that you have
you
to
have
do
to
now.
You have to come to a label with a following already.
Yeah, absolutely.
They won't put you out there
because
from
if
scratch.
That label sees that you're not gonna make them any money, they're gonna be like, okay,
right,
what can you do for me?
But their measuring stick is how many followers this kid's got on Instagram
it's
or
bad.
YouTube.
It's sad.
It's like, wait, what happened to developing these artists from the ground up, man?
It's sad.
That's the state of the music industry in general, right?
Sadly, what it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I mean, we
but
live
yeah,
in a
you,
time
you gotta,
where...
Now you have to bring something to their table. It's not like, okay, we see potential in you. We're going to groom you and grow you. No, you got to bring something to their table.
Well, as a DJ, and since you've been doing this for so long, how close have you gotten to... did you do any recording with anybody? Did you DJ for anybody?
I DJ for, you know, a few artists like Trina and, you know, a few artists that was just... You know, doing local tours around here,
okay.
But I never got close enough to, you know, actually say, hey, let me go on tour with you, or actually have somebody come in and say, you know, you're pretty good. Maybe you should go on. You know, I want you to come tour with me and be my DJ.
I gotcha.
Never got that close. Met a few people along the way. You know.
Yeah.
Met a few people.
Rub some elbows.
Yeah. Okay. Rub some elbows. But I always thought I was good enough to take it somewhere. Just never really had the opportunity to show it.
I got you.
You know?
So, yeah.
But again, rubbed a few elbows and met a few people, but just never, I guess that's partially my own fault too.
Well, it's not, all about having, where you are.
Yeah.
It's where you put yourself, who you know. But being
sometimes
in the right
it's
the
not
right
what
time.
You know is who you know.
Yeah. It's about being in the right place at the right time too.
I have had the luxury of DJing everywhere I've went. I've went overseas and done it. I did it since high school. You know, I did have that luxury. So everywhere I've been, I've at least had, you know, that part of it.
I got you.
Which, to me, is pretty more important, I think.
Yeah. You've got the experience, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because anybody that knows me and knows how long I've been in this town for the past 20 years and knows Soup's Lounge or Kickers or, you know, any of those older spots like that knows that I've been here for a minute.
So here in the...
rest
in
peace, Soup. So.
Here in the Washington County... four-state region, that would be for all those listening from way out, wherever they are.
Right.
We're in the western Hagerstown, western part of Maryland. So we border with Pennsylvania, West Virginia. What's the fourth state? Virginia? Is that what it is?
I guess you could say that.
So Maryland, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Virginia. Then you got D.C. just down less than an hour away.
I mean, within the hour, you could probably cross four borders.
Have you DJed in D.C.? I'm sure.
Some.
Some?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I did Platinum a few years ago.
Sweet.
And that was a big giant spot. That was one of the best spots I ever did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a little bit of everything everywhere mm-hmm. for the past 20 years around here.
gotcha.
Yeah, been around here for a minute.
All right. DJ Smooth. Now, look, you've been doing this since vinyl.
Vinyl, absolutely.
And, of course, now you're on the decks, the digital.
Yeah. Right,
which is a blessing for the old school guys like us, lugging 17 crates of records to and from the car and all that.
To and from the car, up and downstairs.
In the van for all this stuff. We've been to it, man. Right. So anyone, you know, it's kind of a shame, though, huh? The kids can just get the buy the Newmark decks and all that, and they got that sync button. All the DJs out there.
Oh, man.
But you know what? Beat matching for them, dude.
You know what I say about sync?
Cheaters.
Everybody says they're cheaters, but you know what? And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was just watching Carl Cox this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he was running four CDJs.
Four
decks. Yeah. Anybody that knows Carl Cox knows he
goes back.
He works when he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
He works. And I mean, he works the crap out of those four decks. And he was using sync, but you know what? You really couldn't tell because it was so smooth. He had two songs going at the same time while queuing up a third and looping a fourth, and everything was in time, in beat. If you close your eyes, you couldn't tell.
You wouldn't know. Yeah.
You wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know
That's
cool. I'm sitting here trying to Shazam some of the stuff so I can, you know what I mean?
It's inspiring, though, isn't it?
It's inspiring, man. I mean, granted, you and I have had the luxury of vinyl and actually held a piece of vinyl in our hands. And
nothing like it.
There's nothing like it. And, you know, thank goodness for DVS and DVS mm-hmm. standing for Digital Vinyl System, where I can actually still hold a piece of vinyl and still use a turntable with a real needle.
Yeah.
You know, with a real stylus.
That's real DJing to me, personally. And
still, you know, feel like I'm doing something. The only part that I miss is going to that record store, man, and digging through all that stuff and staying in the record store for like an hour and a half to 2 hours.
I did that in New York. I did it in Boston.
I
did it in Montreal, Canada. I did it overseas in Korea when I was there.
I did too.
I had a Korean DJ show me a spot in Seoul to go to. I wasn't supposed to be there. It was an off-limits part of town.
Oh, really?
For GIs and whatnot.
Oh, jeez.
I went in there and came out with some kimchi copies of things, but nonetheless, I still got them, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. I went off. You know?
I did that in Germany too, man. I did it in Germany. I did it in Canada.
It's funny because my time in the military, I gained a lot of vinyl.
Yeah,
you know, between here and there, and I can tell which ones came from Germany because even though you they're 12 inch wide, they're 45 RPM.
They're 45 RPM. Yep, and they're usually like got a black label or something, if it's CBS Records or Atlantic Records or something, the label's still black, and it spins at 45 RPM. You can tell those imports.
Yeah. Oh man,
you can tell those imports. But
yeah,
they were really cool.
We're having vinyl talk, kids. Now you can just go download it from YouTube or whatever.
Oh, jeez. Oh, please don't. Yes, I'm guilty of it too, but don't YouTube rip it. If you do YouTube rip it, please put it at least 192 kilobits per second. you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because some of it you just can't get.
It's true, though.
It's true because I follow a lot of DJs, and a lot of those DJs are overseas. And some of those tracks it's for overseas only. Mm-hmm. You can't get them stateside. Not even on the web. I mean, some of them are on like UK websites that you can't access.
Right.
But if you're going to rip it.
Rip it right.
Rip it right.
rip it right, kids.
Yeah.
R-I-R.
Yeah, rip it right. Don't let me, you know, shoulder surf you and look at your. Don't let me shoulder surf you and look at your Serato crate and see YouTube in the doggone description. Don't let me do that.
No.
At least change the name and at least put it at 192K so it's down, so it sounds decent.
All right.
I'm guilty of it. I admit it.
All right, the Hub Show podcast, music special here. I'm here with DJ Smooth. We're going to talk some more vinyl.
Yeah.
Talk some more music.
Cool.
Be right back.
Be a branding beast in 2018. ExpoNetUSA.com. Trade show displays, step and repeat backdrops, pull up banner stands and table throws, and all your large printing needs. Call Display J at 301-378-9363. ExpoNetUSA.com. Check him out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, and we're back. The Hub Show is back with DJ Smooth.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Conrad Chester.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, so you spin. I met you up at McConnell's.
Right.
Over the border there in Martinsburg.
Right.
And you were spinning over there having a good old time.
Oh, yeah.
That's that your permanent home? Off and
I like to think that's my residence. Oh. George O'Connell, anybody that's been around here for a while. And that knows George. He's been around here for a while. So he finally got his own place, a little pub over there in Martinsburg, mm-hmm. and he's doing his thing over there. Not only does he do, you know, the nightclub type environment, but he has like he has rock bands come through, and he right. does paint night, and he does kids night, and Toys for Tots, and mm-hmm. you know, the motorcycle club comes through there, and does yeah. benefits for them, and yeah, he's doing it pretty big over there. It's a nice spot over there.
I gotcha.
Yeah,
and you're there every weekend.
About every other weekend.
Other weekend.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, by the time people hear this, it'll be too late, but you are rocking the New Year's Eve jam
we'll
tomorrow
be rocking
night.
New Year's Eve tomorrow night.
Yeah, kicking
me
in.
Me and my man Pierre.
Pierre, yeah.
Shout out to Skywalker right there.
Skywalker.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man.
All right.
Yeah, we're ringing it in tomorrow night. Come check us out if you're watching us live right now.
Yeah.
Probably going to be the cheapest ticket in town. Not probably. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the cheapest ticket in town.
Right.
You know, champagne toast and all those other wonderful things.
Hey, at least it won't be outside. You'll be inside. Yeah, it'll be inside. Like 9 degrees tomorrow night, man.
Yeah, I feel for those people at Times Square tomorrow night, man.
Yeah, I'm contemplating the donut drop, the crumpiest thing.
Right,
man.
Right.
I want to be a team player and brave the cold, but I tell you what, 9 degrees, man.
Not this year.
I'll be a frozen
pass.
Donut.
Yeah, right.
All right, so hey, man. Back to music.
Yeah.
We can go all over the place and talk about what was the best times, the worst times. We could sing a pair of grumpy old men here talking about it. But, I mean, you're still keeping up with what is and is it for the most part?
For the most part. I'm trying to.
Okay.
Trying
like
to.
The stuff you were spinning when I saw you over there at McConnell's, it's pretty, yeah. Pretty up-to-date.
Most of it was pretty up-to-date, yeah. I was kind of going back and forth there a little bit. But
do you find the crowd follows with what's up-to-date nowadays? I mean,
most
back in the day, you had to be up to date.
You had to be.
Nowadays.
To be. Now it's just kind of, they would rather more hear the stuff that they know, mm-hmm. especially like late 90s, early 2000s stuff. Those guarantee hits that they can
guarantee
sing along
stuff.
With.
Yeah. Still, right?
Still.
We're going on 20 years. I mean, I play weddings, I DJ and right. spin, weddings, and we're still playing Usher, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're still playing Hot in Here.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff from the early 2000s
right.
and whatnot. You know,
oh, yeah,
I
definitely.
Still got to play the old Kanye West. I never really played the new stuff. No one asked
still,
for it.
Yeah, you still got to play, you know, yeah. Party Up by DMX
yes.
and all those. I even still play Jump Around by House of Pain.
Of course
you know what
you
I
do.
Mean? I did that. If
That's
nothing
a great song,
works,
man.
If I can't do what I need to do, if I play House of Pain, jump yeah. around, somebody will get up off their butt.
But you know what? It's not even about that song. It's about when you play it. It's
right.
going to catch the place in the right mood.
Right.
Man.
And you know, all these other DJs out here that I talk to,
mm-hmm.
No, I'm not the best scratcher in the world. And no, I'm not the best mixer in the world. My thing is, and I tell these guys this, that, mm-hmm. you know, you got to feel your crowd out.
Yep.
You got to know your audience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can play stuff early or whatever, but you just kind of you got to feel them out, you know.
Well, for me, it's not what you play; it's how and when you play.
It's how
stuff,
and when
man.
You play it, right?
You gotta
right.
pick the right time.
You can have the hottest track on the planet, but if you play it at the wrong
time it's
or
a train wreck.
It's a wreck.
Exactly. I know.
That's a good way to put it. It's a train wreck.
Yeah. I love to me. I mean, all the fancy scratching.
Yeah.
And all of the scratch pickles and DJ Cuber
oh,
and all
oh,
that stuff.
Man.
That's amazing to watch.
Right.
That was never really my thing. I'm still huge on the whole BPM. Beat matching stuff.
Right,
I love
right.
the transitions and the blends.
Right.
It's always been the thing for me.
Right, right. I'm more about that than
me too.
You know, I like watching those guys scratch and
yeah.
do it, and you know I could do it a little bit, mm-hmm. but I'm you know it's an art form.
Oh, no doubt,
it's an art form. And those
but you
guys
can't
have
watch
been at
that for 2-3 hours straight.
No.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, you won't rock a party or you won't rock a nightclub doing that for an hour and a half.
No. No, you got to stop at some point.
You
got to
stop at some
cool
point.
It's cool for like a little 5-minute burst here and there.
Right,
but
right.
I mean, I love the thing I liked when I was in the military, especially, and I started meeting other DJs and whatnot. I was hearing, I call them recipes. They had their own blends. Like
right.
all of a sudden, I'm mixing, I never heard it done before. Mm. And I'm sitting here in the early 90s taking Prince When Doves Cry and blending it in with Play Your Own Risk and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
And we take the acapella for Freaking You by Jodeci, right?
Mm-hmm.
We put the pitch all the way up.
Right.
And take the Planet Rock instrument and put the pitch all the way
all
down.
All the way down, yep.
And that became this cool-ass mix.
Yeah.
We were rocking the floor of that thing.
Right.
You know, you
right.
know, that's the art of being a DJ.
That's
being creative, man.
Yep, that's the art of it. Anybody can, you know,
yeah.
play two songs back-to-back or whatever, but the mixing and the, you know, yeah. the phasing is another big thing with me.
The two
phasing,
tracks.
Yeah, phasing oh. of two tracks
with me too.
Is
always,
big
man.
For me. I never used to care before, you know what I mean? I was just, you know, uh-huh. as long as the beats matched, I would, you know, just
oh,
put them
yeah.
together.
You gotta have the two copy thing, man.
Yeah, but I mean, if I'm putting two songs together, I try to play the instrumental of the incoming
oh, yeah,
song.
Absolutely,
and,
man. Extend
you know,
that
phase
thing
it
out,
just
man.
Right,
yes.
and yeah, yeah.
There's nothing. This It's a DJ thing. That's a high right there.
The choruses have to drop on time.
And you get the swoosh and the speakers going.
Oh, jeez.
People go, what the hell's going on?
Yes. That jet.
But we know.
Yeah, we know.
See, I started doing that. I was only so old in the 80s, man.
Right,
but, you know, up in, I live like an hour north of Boston, in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, that area. We used to put up a shortwave radio antenna just to pick up stuff out of New York.
Oh, yeah.
So we heard Red Alert, 98.7 KISS back in the day. He's the first person I heard do that. I know that, you know, through my meeting people and my studying the history of the whole art form, that the disco DJs were the ones starting to do the phasing and doing the blending and beat matching. But I heard Red Alert do that. Like, he took two copies of, like, Rock This Funky Joint, you know, all that stuff, and he would phase those things. How's he doing that?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because that's how I learned to, what they call doubling up now.
Yep.
Because he did that with a song by Biz Markie, Make the Music With Your Mouth.
Oh, I remember that.
And when I first heard that, I was like, how in the world is he doing that?
Right.
And it took me a minute, but I learned it, and I got it, and I still do it to this day.
Oh.
Still do it to this day.
Yeah.
Any other DJ would know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the people on the floor don't.
They don't know.
It's crazy, right? Yeah.
But us as DJs, you know, we get picky like that sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, we listen for the oddball stuff, and we listen for the little tricks and stuff that they do.
You know, it's funny, as DJs, we're sitting here talking about little tricks and BPMs and beat matching and all that stuff. It's such an art form to it, and the big argument is that, you know, musicians versus DJs and this and that. Look, if you're making music, if you can keep the beat, you gotta know. I'm a drummer. I played real drums.
Yeah, I freestyle drums. So.
Right. So I know how to play drums. I know how to beat. I know the eighth notes, the chord notes, all that good stuff. You gotta know how to play drums, basically, to DJ. Like we're talking about.
Absolutely.
And all the people that poo-poo on the whole DJing art form. I will say this though, as a DJ, and we talked about this on Facebook Messenger. As we've been around here now for 3 decades doing this stuff.
Right.
You know, the whole thing with EDM, electronic dance music, to me, seems like when you get into the 120 plus beats per minute, between that maybe 140, some of the easiest stuff to mix. It's just too easy, man.
It's too easy.
I'm so bored with it half
the time. There's no vocal.
I'm bored with it.
It's too easy.
Don't get me wrong.
Anybody that knows music knows that there's a format to a song.
Right. No. I understand the history. I remember who's who. I remember hearing Acid House.
Right.
And all that kind of stuff in the 80s. That stuff was awesome. It was mind blowing in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the Jungle Brothers picked it up and did all house and all that. Great stuff, man.
Great stuff.
But I mean, it's, you know, 25 years, 30 years later, I don't know, that stuff just sounds all the same to me,
EDM today is just,
man,
the techno of the 90s. That's
We've been doing
is.
That now.
We've been doing
that's
it for
That's what I'm
years.
Saying by we've hit a wall. We've hit a wall.
They just changed the name of it and called it something else. Yeah. The EDM of today is the techno of the 90s.
But
it's all
listen, man, to the kid or guy or girl in their basement or their bedroom. If you're doing something that hasn't been heard, you don't think it's been heard, I want to hear it.
I want to hear it, too.
We've hit a wall. You know what I mean?
And there are kids coming up that
something.
Fortunately
Whether it's
understand
the technology
it.
Doing it for you, I want to hear it.
I want to hear it, too. I don't care if you use the sync button. You know what I mean?
No, I want to hear it. But I'm just saying, I just don't understand where we're going music-wise. We've hit a wall. Even with rock, even with any genre, it's over.
Yeah, we've hit a ceiling.
I'm not saying it's over. But
it's not over, but we've hit a ceiling.
Everyone wants to sound like a certain somebody.
Right.
That there's nothing coming out from scratch anymore, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no kidding. I think we've hit a ceiling. The kids in hip-hop and stuff like that are going, like, total left field and talking about something totally different, which, again, not to sound like grumpy old men, but when we were listening to hip-hop back when it first started, our parents were like, it's not going to go anywhere. And I guess we're at that stage
now. Not
just
parents. The record companies and the
record
labels
and
stations,
man. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, you and I were listening to hip-hop before it got on the radio.
Right. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You know, before it hit MTV. Right?
Yeah. And now I guess we're at that stage where our parents were saying to us, now we're saying to our kids and generations after
but
us.
But it is like this, though. Like we just talked about, there's always these different phases of hip-hop.
Yeah.
And like I just said, before MTV got their claws on it, there was a time after the kids got done spinning on their back on their heads. There's a little lull between like 84, 85 to like 87.
Yeah.
And Yo MTV Raps came on in 88. But I was a wigger at my school for listening. I just kept it going. I didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, Run DMC put out some of their best stuff during that time frame. Houdini was still putting out stuff. I mean, who doesn't like Friends by Houdini and all that stuff?
And who doesn't know the lyrics to that song?
Yeah, right. I'm going to say, you know, not just that, though. I mean, they had a string of hits in that era.
Oh, yeah.
Public Enemy put their first album out in 86. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yep. Yo Bum Rush the Show. I mean, I was there for all that stuff. Right. Beastie Boys are 86. Yep. You know. And then boom, MTV came and along, MTV and then they went boom.
Got their claws in it.
Claws in it, for better or worse. But, you know, all of a sudden, everybody was a rapper. Right. Everybody was a DJ.
Right. Right. Yep.
But there we were.
It's all good, though.
So 2017, if you could, looking back as we hit New Year's here, going into 2018, what would you, are there any tracks that stand out to you from this past year?
From this past year?
That did something for you, that moved you?
Oh, geez. There's a couple of them that did that, and I can't think of any, I can't think of the names right off the top of my head. But the tracks that I'm thinking of, nobody would probably know.
Really?
But that's just how I am with music. I mean, if something moves me or it gives me goosebumps on my arm.
But is it anything that you spun at O'Connell's over the last year that's new that came out that?
It was new to them, but technically the songs were old. The songs were like 4 and 5 years old because
there's nothing coming out.
I think I discover something new like at least once a week. And I was
like
playing
new music.
Like new music that I had never heard before.
Okay.
Chicago has this, they have their own subculture. They call it footwork or juke music. And it's kind of a cross between an up-tempo Baltimore club or an up-tempo house music or something like that. And I stumbled across it one day. And they even have their own dance moves to it, and they have it's a culture.
Well, there we go.
It's a culture.
That's what I'm talking about. What's the next subculture of this culture?
Who knows?
What's it called?
It's called juke music or footwork. Yeah, J-U-K-E or footwork.
And it has its own dance, too?
They have their own dance moves to it.
It's out of Chicago.
Most of it's out of Chicago.
For the most part.
Some say it adapted itself from like Jersey club music or Baltimore club music or something like that. But when I stumbled upon it,
I love how we've broken it down by city.
I get it. And speaking of which, shout out my man DJ Tamil. Shout out my man DJ Techniques for putting me on to Baltimore club music and Jersey club music. Because without you guys, I wouldn't have discovered a lot of things. But on that note, it kind of feels like each city has their own sound, their own thing. They're doing their own thing or whatever, which is great for music in general. Just like Seattle when, the grunge came out and they had their own sound. And Detroit came out and they had their own
DC
sound.
DC has the go-go.
And DC has the go-go's. It's kind of on that same concept kind of thing.
I want to hear it, though.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
Juke music.
Yeah. I'll actually play some of it.
Like, what's an artist? What's one song that someone listening to this could go to YouTube and...
Just look up a DJ named Lakim. He produced... Yeah, Lakim. L-A-K-I-M. He produced some of his own tracks. Joe Def, who I'm actually trying to get a hold of right this second. There's a couple DJs that came out of there that produced their own thing. And it's different. It's different.
I want something different.
It's different. it's very up-tempo.
What's the vocals on it like, though? Is it singing?
It's samples that you would... Remember how Kanye sped up a lot of those old samples?
Yeah.
Kind of that same concept. I'll play a few tracks for you here.
Kanye started something.
Oh man! But people have been doing that since before Kanye too. So he just
took it to his own level.
He took it to a whole nother level, But yeah, I discovered that, and I became an EDM head
because of that. This juke music. What is it in the 120 plus?
It's 120 plus. Yes, it's up there.
Jungle. Remember Jungle from the 90s?
Yeah, it's almost...
Like Goldie and all those? Yeah, that stuff that came out of England?
Yeah.
That shit was
kind of like that. Yeah, it's kind of like that.
I kind of stopped dancing at that point, but that shit was fast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's too fast to even...
Man, you got to be popping drugs when you're dancing that stuff.
You'll break a sweat in 20 minutes. But it would probably take you less than that.
Yeah, forget aerobics, kids. Ladies.
Oh, jeez.
Throwing some Jungle.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
Just running in place. I've bounced around all over the place. Of course, I had to play every remix of Cardi B I could find on the planet because I just can't go anywhere without playing that song.
Cardi B? Which song? My guy EJ Fuller, we were breaking, he was introducing me to the new stuff, and we played it on YouTube.
The Bodak Yellow.
That's the one.
I can't go anywhere without playing that song.
But do you like it? Is it requested everywhere you go?
Yeah.
It is.
That's
still
it
a thing? Would you say in 2017 it's probably your most requested song? Cardi B?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it was different. It was coming from a female who by the way, if nobody knows, that song became number one on Billboard 100 since Lauryn Hill. And Lauryn Hill was back in
98.
She was the last solo female artist. Yeah. Last solo female hip-hop artist to go number one on Billboard.
She took a Grammy. I remember that.
She took a Grammy for that.
I was just shocked by that. She was, man. Yeah.
And she took a Grammy for that. So I love that album. Who knows what Cardi B's going to do with it?
That album's almost 20 years old, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that album.
So for her to do that is something. It's really something. She made it.
What?
And there's a couple.
What determines the charts today, though? Back then, you bought the CD. You bought the single.
Back then, it was, yeah, you're buying the single. You're... Requests on the radio.
Your numbers were recorded at the cash register, so now it's downloads, right?
Yeah, between downloading and streaming and YouTube watches, YouTube views, SoundCloud listens, and stuff like that. Between all of that, I forget the exact specs on how they counted or whatever. I think like a like 1,000 streams is worth
a point
or something.
Oh, so your YouTube downloads counts towards where you sit on the charts?
Between YouTube listens, SoundCloud listens.
Okay.
How many streams? How many times
just
it was streamed?
Algorithms and everything else.
Just all the algorithms and all that is how they count that.
It's not as easy as it once was.
How many times
it
plays on the radio?
Man, you either bought or you didn't.
Yeah, yeah. It's not physical anymore. Jeez. It's not physical anymore.
Wow, no wonder it's so splintered, dude.
Yeah, but
no wonder.
You have to get millions and millions and millions of views in order for it to really, really mean something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but other than that, I mean, it's almost. It's so bad and it's so crazy that a million views is almost nothing now.
Right.
You know?
Because you can watch it for 2 seconds. You're
considered
a view. You can watch it by accident. You're considered a view.
All you have to do is click play or...
There's something false about that, though,
yeah,
man.
Or you could be watching something totally different and some random playlist will come up and that song will play.
Your record either got bought or it didn't get bought.
Right.
And they knew at the register.
And they knew how many units were being sold before it actually hit the store, actually.
Right. Because they would pre-order them.
They would pre-order the record, so they know how many units were going out before.
And then record stores would run out of them and have to back order.
And that's how it counted.
Not today.
You almost had to physically sit down and count all that.
Not today. YouTube's a factor, huh? Such a factor.
YouTube is a factor. SoundCloud is a factor. A lot of these digital record pools are a factor because they
Are you part of one?
I'm part of like three of them.
I'm with Prime Cuts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I never heard of that one.
No? I used to be in Promo Only.
Yeah.
Be part of that. I'm in Prime
I was
Cuts.
In that one. I jumped out of that one. I'm in BPM Supreme now.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Mix Show Tools. Mm-hmm. I'm in that one. Mm-hmm. DigiWax. I'm in that one.
That's cool.
There's a couple more that I bounce in and out of, like... Beatport, I bounce in and out of Beatport.
Right.
But there are a lot of, they do a lot of underground house and stuff like that. So
I'm
all over the
place. What isn't underground? I mean, back in the day, underground, like you and I know, hip-hop was totally underground at one point.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
If you go back into like the early to mid-90s and you talk underground hip-hop,
right.
And if you don't say something like...
Black Moon.
Or...
Hieroglyphics out in the West Coast, all those cats.
If you don't say something like that...
Yeah. You lost.
You
lost the argument. But today, I even like when people chime in on YouTube. Let's say I'm watching Wu-Tang Clan Tears.
Right.
I'm watching down on YouTube. You know, all you look at their comments below, and you get everyone saying, "Oh, it was so dope back in the 90s."
Right.
And then they get the kids who were born that year saying, "Oh, I wish I lived back then. I could experience this." And then, you know, it's just. You had to be there.
You had to be there. You had to be there. But that doesn't mean that we can't teach our kids it, because I'm teaching my kids now.
Right.
You know, I mean my 4, 5, and 6 year olds know who Michael Jackson is.
Well, yeah.
They know who Prince is.
Yeah.
And I instill in them that there would be no this if you didn't have that first.
That's true.
So
whether it's the politics of it all, which we all know about MTV and everything, entertainment industry back then. But, I mean, hey.
Yeah, I was like, your favorite song probably came from a little piece of this song way back when. So listen
to this. Or inspiration
of
it.
Inspired from, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So listen to this, and then you will understand where this came from.
Right.
I really try to instill that in my kids now.
Yeah, my 11-year-old son, he's a drummer. He's been drumming, been going to drum set lessons for 3 years now. He's getting good.
Yeah.
But he's... He doesn't even want to talk about the new stuff. 11-year-old kid. He just wants to go John Bonham.
Oh, geez.
He's trying to keep up with Clyde Stubblefield.
Oh, wow.
Good luck with that. Yeah, we play it, though. I say, hey, man, if you can get this down. You know. But I'm trying to introduce him, and he's been introduced to the good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he loves Parliament. He loves Led Zeppelin.
Good.
He loves Jimmy. I've, you know, introduced him to stuff. He'll get down and play Elvis. He'll get down and play the Beatles and the Stones.
Good.
You know, we'll get into, he'll be playing Tom Sawyer's Rush. You know, I mean, that's
a tough song.
Right, but he's in there trying. I mean, you know, by saying, hey, you just got to keep trying. Yeah, you'll get it down, man.
Just
listen to what they're doing, man. Yep. And I put the YouTube on in front of him while he's on the drum set.
Right.
So he can see Neil Peart and all the guys doing their thing from back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, whether he ever gets the funky drummer down, I'll never know. But it'll be interesting.
That's a tough one.
Yeah,
if he gets
that
down to a science, you let me know. Because I'll record it and use it myself.
Well, yeah, I know, right? That's a challenge, but it's cool.
Yeah, funky drummer's a challenge.
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
So I'm sitting here with DJ Smooth. I'm Jay Heiss, the Hub Show. I want to put an APB out to other DJs around this area, and I know you know of some.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to have this discussion with all of y'all.
Oh,
it'd be cool
doubt.
To have a DJ round table and really go at it and talk about stuff and play music.
No doubt. Absolutely.
And just, you know, dig into it.
And mess with actually some of these.
Yeah, well, you know, even the younger cats who are out here who don't have, you know, this experience, by all means, come sit with us. Let's talk it up. Let's talk about
let's chop it up, definitely.
Where we come from and where you're coming from. And make
a
thing out of it.
I'll learn a piece from you.
And what I really like to do, I'm putting it out there, is somehow have a DJ event out here. Don't know where, don't know when, don't know how, but I'd like to get at least 4 or 5 DJs to do an event.
Yeah.
Just
that would be
to have 4 or 5 DJs just take their turns and go at it and just, you know,
some type
of party or an annual festival,
something
that celebrates
like that.
This culture. Hagerstown needs a shot in the arm like that. You know what I mean? Something
like
that.
No doubt.
Or Hagerstown or whoever wants to put it on.
Whoever wants to put it on or whoever
like
wants to sponsor it or whatever. Hit me up.
There's Coachella, then there'll be Sharksburg or something.
Something.
We're going to make it happen.
Yeah, we need to do something.
For sure.
And I could think of 4 DJs off the top of my head that would love to jump in on that.
I gotcha. Well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and check out DJ Smooth on a set. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with that. But hope you enjoyed this. This was the Hub Show Music Special. There'll be more of these coming. I'm with Conrad Chester, a.k.a. DJ Smooth.
Yes, sir.
And 2018, lots of big things happening for him, for us, everything. Stick around. Hagerstown.
We're doing this again.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
No doubt.
Hub City, keep your head up. We'll be back.
You've been listening to The Hub Show from Hagerstown, Maryland. Podcasting and broadcasting about everything local you need to know with your host, Jay Heiss. Join us on our next podcast, coming soon.
Hardy Pet is your local neighborhood pet store, serving premium and super premium pet food and supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. Your pets will love their selections from Fromm, Nutrisource, and Nature's Logic, along with American National Premium, Origin, and Akana 2. At Hardy Pet, we offer training courses including 2 and 3 week holiday manners brush-ups. We even offer canine massage to help with joint pain, arthritis, injuries, anxiety, and stress. So come see us at Hardy Pet, 1918 Jefferson Boulevard, right here in Hagerstown. Hardy Pet, where we love your pets, too.